You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the last 15 minutes of Bathrobs Piers Broadsides, and you're listening to a 1988 tape on the debate on the camping ban, which was a major issue in the election, or at least it was an issue that all the councils talked
when
about.
When you are denied a place to sleep.
This is Ray Glock-Grunike speaking.
And if you don't have a place to sleep, you are denied the right to sleep. But that is so violative of the human being, it is cruel and unusual punishment. That is, as Charles has correctly stated, torture. That violates not only American constitutional principles, that violates international law. And any person on our city council, present or past or future, who will insist upon implementing that law by the hundreds of camping citations we have every week, or every month rather, is engaging in an atrocity. And there's no excuse for it. Second, in the bureaucratic responses, it violates interstate travel. People ought to be able to safely pull over to the side of the road and take a nap. Interstate travel also. Thirdly, it violates the right of a human being to go ahead and choose their own hours of sleep. I once worked for a year or more on the graveyard shift and did not particularly adapt well to having to stay up all night. Those are some of the legal arguments. I heard what I take as sincere, decent human beings make proposals of what they would do there on the city council. And I don't doubt their genuineness and their sincerity. I want to state that even though I spent a great deal of my time and effort trying to get governmental structures to move in more humane directions, I have absolutely no faith in government solving these problems. None whatsoever. I think that the various progressives we have in charge of the present city council were also decent, humane, insightful human beings. Things change after you have political power, friends. They change a lot. We cannot trust the political process. And so, yes, indeed, the two of you and Ed and anybody else who is out there and running for city council, yes, use your imaginations, use your sense of civic responsibility to go ahead and work out these ameliorations and these improvements upon our present form of oppression so we can have them less harmful to people. But also recognize that after you've done your utmost to have government be less harmful and even at times helpful, there is much, much work to be done. Much work to be done. And there will be a lot of agitation to make sure it is done. And not all that agitation will be nice and polite. And some of the agitation, that it'll be angry and in well-based anger, will, as we pointed out, be counterproductive. Because just because there is good cause for your anger doesn't mean it's doing good things all the time. Sometimes it can alienate somebody who was just about rationalizing themselves into a position of not being quite so harmful, and now they've got their own self-serving excuse to be harmful another year. Well, that's human nature, and we just have to keep working on it to improve on it. So now let me leave the bureaucratic comments and just make a couple of the agitation comments. I personally do not believe that a society whose economics is based upon premises of greed and acquisitiveness can solve the housing problem and can solve the issues. I believe that socialism is but the beginning, and if the socialists ever had power in this country, as they need to, you would then see the corruption and inadequacies of those who call themselves socialists, including those with red-haired ponytails, and you would have to agitate against them toward becoming a more human system, because they too would become very impressed with their own power. Second, I think that the cultural bigotry issue, which is correctly pointed out by Jane, in the instance of deadheads and against the, those who are labeled as homeless, is a real issue, and I personally want Santa Cruz to become a magnet, a moral magnet. I think we should do our fair share for starters, and then we should take Jane's suggestion and not perhaps going beyond them. We have a moral duty to go be as much beyond our fair share as possible so that we can be a moral magnet to do what is right and human and decent in this city for starters, because there's a lot to be done and we need to use our own imagination and our own love to get the job started. Thank you.
My first downfall. Thank you.
Okay, I promised the gentleman in the back that I'd call on him first, and then I'm going to let Robert, if he will, move the microphone around so that he's... Remember, that's not really my, that's not amplifying you. That's just for the radio or for recording. So you have to speak up so that everyone here.
Here we have an old county jail building, right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I guess it's not on the Pacific Garden Mall. Yeah, we would have made a place for the people that, like, you sleep outside, boom, you get a camping ticket. You know? But if we were to be able to fix that jail up, half the street people on the street would go there at night and not one have to worry about getting a camping ticket. You know? Why can't we just stop and think for a minute? Here we are. You know, we've got a vacant building here. You know, it's been locked. No one, just get a few people go in, clean it up, be able enough to one, have showers. Two, have a place to sleep, you know? You know, like in San Francisco, where I just come from, you know, we have a Tenderloin self-help center there that will, you know, like if you're out of time, if you're in drugs, you know, they will help you out to stay off. You know, that's all I have been thinking about. I've been here in Santa Cruz for 4 months. I've gotten so many tickets for camping, you know, just like a toilet paper rack.
What do you do with them?
What I do with them? I go to court, Judge McAdams.
Then what happens?
12 months probation.
Then what happens after that?
I go back out and I go camping again.
And, of course, toward the end, you get the voice, first audible voice of a homeless person actually talking at that 1988 forum 14 years ago in Santa Cruz. We're nearing the end of the hour, and who knows? If Vinny or Bob don't come in, I may steal some time, but probably not. They've been pretty prompt. And I just want to let you know that I'm going to be playing the rest of this tape on Thursday between 6 and 8 when Bathrop Spears Broadsides returns. That's 6 to 8 in the evening on Thursday. So you're welcome to tune into it then. Well, it's really interesting to hear, though, and it really kind of draws some thoughts from me. You notice the man is saying that there's no place to shower, there's no place to camp, and so forth. Of course, there's still no place to camp or sleep. But the actual homeless services center opened as a consequence of this massive agitation that began, well, as far back as the 70s in the Scott Creek Bluff case, which I've talked about in the past. It was the largest misdemeanor trial in Santa Cruz history and the most dramatic instance of jury nullification I've ever heard of, where the jury found all the defendants not guilty, even though they all admitted they were guilty, refused to convict them of anything because they had no choice but to use their vehicles, sleep in their vehicles after being driven out of Santa Cruz by a bigoted administration. And it was after their victory that the sleeping ban law, the 1978 current camping ordinance with its sleeping ban provisions, was written. But again, it was agitation by the Scotts Creek people, by Jane Immler and Shannon Casamo and Linda LeMaster and Rocky Stone and Linda Edwards and Gray Bear and many, 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 many other people, Kim Margula, Tony Mello, Robert Flory, Dave Jacobs, Tim Rinker, Dan Hopkins. The names go on and on. In fact, hopefully we're going to have a kind of a gallery of honor at the upcoming Right to Sleep Summit, Heroes of the Past. I'm going to try to at least have a list of the names of the folks who are up there, including those who have died in the line of duty there, trying to get basic civil rights, basic human rights for homeless people in Santa Cruz. And we still don't have them. It's 14 years later. After 1988, it's 24 years after the camping ordinance, the cruel camping ordinance was passed. We still get the same double talk about affordable housing, the same political crap about an elaborate plan for a campground that completely evaporates once Ed Porter gets into office, and there's no campground proposal, not even a fulfillment of his commitment to the Green Party. And the only way we change this is by coming together in numbers and acting with voices so loud, indeed rude at times, so that it embarrasses, so that it confronts, so that it makes the creative tension that Martin Luther King pointed out is necessary to make the changes. And so that the contradictions are exposed, so that the grim realities are brought to the surface. And that's what I think needs to be done. And we'll see if, in fact, it's something that we can get done at this Right to Sleep Summit, when as that comes up on May 3rd through 5th, as well as learn what's happening at encampments all over the place that are saying no thank you to the lie down and die policies, or the hide out or get out policies of the different city councils, the different governmental bodies in different places, but specifically the people here in Santa Cruz, the politicians here in Santa Cruz. There really has to be a distinction, because though politicians are nominally people, they kind of lose that status once they enter the political realm. They become instruments of the machine, and they become wielders of political power. And they forget, I think, what normal people who are not in that situation have to confront, have to deal with. So we're also going to be talking, I'm hoping to interview Becky Johnson when she returns. She's out of town. She just won $10,000 from the LAPD. She was, as you may remember, beaten by the police back at the Democratic Convention in August of 2000. And she filed a federal lawsuit, and she rejected an offer of a settlement of about one-fifth of what she got. And she and two other defendants received receiving settlement checks within the month. She got a $10,000 settlement. And that is quite something, and quite something to encourage all the rest of us that you can beat City Hall. You can stop the beatings of police officers and make them pay for what they're doing. And hopefully we can do the same thing at City Council. And again, remind you before I sign off that I need you. If you have seen any kind of abuses at City Council, if you have felt chilled by City Council or discouraged from going to City Council by their behavior, I need to hear from you at 423-4833. I really need to hear from you within the next week. So give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and let me know what you've seen. We will simply drop a statement and you can sign it, and we'll take it to federal court along with many, many other statements. And that will be the basis for the injunction against the City Council's so-called decorum rules and its practice of doing a variety of things, ranging from cutting people off, interrupting people, moving agenda items to the end of the agenda to stop people from talking on them, clustering them all together so that a person has to speak on three or four things at once, ordering someone to leave from the room for making a silent gesture or holding up a sign, a whole series of authoritarian, essentially tyrannical dicta from the dais, from the chair, which they're able to do, and they've done more and more of, because we, the community, have let them. We have to stop that now. We withdraw our permission. That's what this federal court is going to say, in essence. No way. And of course, at the same time, while the courts are operating on one end, the community needs to operate on the other to start planning the mass protests that will start changing the laws that City Council refuses to deal with. Because the City Council could be as neat and polite and First Amendment-oriented as it wants in terms of allowing 3 minutes of discussion every 2 weeks by people, and that's very nice of them, and not interrupting them and not throwing them out for signs and silent gestures or even boos, provided the boos aren't prolonged and stop the business. But that's not going to put the sleeping ban repeal on the agenda. That's going to require more direct pressure. That's going to require possibly boycotts, possibly lengthy sleepouts, possibly sit-ins, lie-ins, sleep-ins, you name it. It's going to require creative tactics we're going to be hopefully talking about at this upcoming summit. And it's going to require people with the time and commitment to do it. And that's really one of the questions coming as to whether there is that time and commitment on behalf of a sufficient number of people or coming from enough people. The summit, again, if you want to get information, give a call to 423-HUFF. It's going to be May 3rd through 5th. Everyone's invited, but of course, particularly if you're a homeless activist, doesn't mean you have to be homeless yourself. In fact, we invite people who aren't homeless because you may have the power to sustain a campaign of protest longer than a homeless people do because you're less vulnerable. So, and people will need your help. That's coming May 3rd through 5th at 1135 North Brant's 40. There have been some small changes at City Council. I wasn't at the last meeting, but I heard about it. I was busy doing other things, kind of preparing for this lawsuit. I had written a long 3-page Brown Act complaint, which I'll probably turn in later. My attorneys advised me to wait a week so that the City Council would respond first, although I don't think anything I have to say is going to change their response. Attorneys always like you to say as little as possible, and I've generally advised people to keep speaking up regardless of their attorney's advice, because it's particularly on matters of public interest. While it's, you know, winning a case is a great thing and an important thing, the continuing process of encouraging people to speak up and providing community information is important. So I'm going to have to follow my own rules, and I will be going into more detail probably at the next edition of this show, Bathrobs, Piers, Broadsides, on Thursday between 6 and 8, talking about the Brown Act violations of the City Council in the last few months. Which means its failure to follow the state law, which requires it to respect the rights of citizens at public meetings. And that's been pretty clear, and it's actually pretty clear in the lawsuit, too. But again, apparently Crone is not now as mechanically following the orders of those around him as he was wont to. I was arrested because Fitzmaurice demanded that I be excluded for making a Nazi salute. And Crone, instead of saying, "That's okay, I will move right along," stopped everything and followed Kennedy's suggestion, recessed the meeting, and put me on the spot. In essence, he could have avoided the whole issue. I mean, there was no disruption. He insisted that I abandon my right to be at a public meeting so that he could please Fitzmaurice. And I just decided that wasn't going to go. That was not going to happen. And if I had to go to jail for it, I would. And I did. And it may take that attitude from other people, too, in standing up to things that are coming at the City Council. I mean, as I said, Crone seems to have made he may have made a minor change. He may have, for example, when he was, a speaker was, in essence,
All right.
Uh-oh. It looks like the enforcer.
Yep.
Has arrived, and she's got her little hatchet with her. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to move my posterior, and I will, in fact, be back on Thursday.
Thought you were getting another hour and a half, didn't you?
I had my hopes.
No, not happening, all right?
Apparently not. So what we're going to do now is we're going to give you a little extra music so that the vicious Lady Scararms here can scar your arms, so to speak, or perhaps scar your heart. No, she's going to heal your heart, though her arms be scarred. And actually, that's coming up around 3, but we got some preliminaries for the next hour and a half. Check me out at the Huff meeting at Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning. Do get in touch if you've seen any abuse of City Council. This is the last time period, the last 2 or 3 years. 423-HUFF. And stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 for some fine listening.
I was at the climate change protests in Bonn while all the leaders of the world were gathering to discuss how not to save it. And we got a 1% reduction in emissions. It's wonderful. The protest was really great, even as we were all losing, which is the kind of nice thing, or the kind of strange thing, I guess, about being on the left, is that there's so many wonderful people, and all these wonderful protests with these wonderful folks, and we all get together to sort of lose. But, you know, maybe we'll win, eventually. But we have fun, anyway, when the cops aren't beating us too much. There were these folks from England who, I think, they really embodied the fun of the whole protest scene. They came with a bicycle known as the Rinky Dink. And the Rinky Dink was this thing that it had two bicycles on the back and two in the front and then a tandem in the middle. The two in the back and the two in the front moved the thing forward. The tandem in the middle, when you pedaled that, it powered a generator. And between the electrical generator, bicycle-powered generator, and the two solar panels over the hood that was covering the thing and the windmill on top, that powered a sound system radio station. And the windmill, of course, was mounted on a radio antenna, which constantly blew soap bubbles. And it seats like eight adults, I guess. Six adults and like 30 children. There's child seats all over the place. And it's all day-glow and beautiful. And so, you know, they'll pull up, and they're an immediate spectacle. I mean, for somebody like me who really hates to book gigs and hates to do anything organizational like that, it would be the perfect vehicle because you just show up and you play, and everybody shows up and listens because you look so strange. The really sort of shocking thing is when you're playing a concert through the sound system, and then it's being broadcast like by people riding around on their bicycles with little speakers and stuff, because they can all pick it up on the radio station. And you know that anytime these two guys behind you stop pedaling, the sound goes out. So I wrote this song to encourage them to keep pedaling. Pedal-powered radio station, it'll fire up your imagination. It's a sound system, it'll make you dance, might make you jump right out of your pants. Traveling roadshow microphone with a bicycle seat as the throne. When you see it, you'll agree it's right there on your frequency. It's the rinky-dink, the rinky-dink. When you're feeling on the brink, it'll make you laugh, it'll make you think. I'm talking about that rinky-dink. The soap's a-bubbling, breeze is blowing, ain't no telling where it's going. Windmill swinging with the tribe, it's that day-glow solar vibe. Stop a riot, it's been done, they'll part the clouds and bring the sun. It don't matter where you've been, just sit on down and tune right in. It's a rinky-dink, the rinky-dink, just might be the missing link. It'll make you nod, it'll make you wink, I'm talking about that rinky-dink. They'll come rolling through your town, you might go up and never come down. It's the cure for air pollution, it's the rinky-dink solution. Folks will wonder, folks will stare, kids will jump into their chair. When they go, you know the rub, drop a quid into the tub. It's the rinky-dink, it'll ease up any kink. It'll ease up any kink, talking about that rinky-dink. The rinky-dink, the rinky-dink, it'll make your troubles shrink. It'll ease up any kink. No, there's something else there. Lots of things rhyme with dink. It would give those folks something to drink. Turn the pedals, clackety clink. I'm talking about that rinky dink. While we were in Bonn, you know, basically having a big party, there were a lot of stuff was going on in Genoa, and part of a series, and interrupted recently by a cataclysmic event, but But this is a song about shutting down the various financial institutions of the world. And it's sort of generic, vague kind of thing, you know, it can apply to whichever one you care to shut down. And it has a four-word chorus, and I hope you'll all join me with it. We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them on the shore. They will bring us exploitation. We'll bring them their class war. And we'll lock down to the gates as they're spreading vicious lies. They want to dominate the world, and we see through their disguise. If they'd have one big multinational with their corporate flag unfurled, searching everywhere for the lowest wages in the world, then we'll have one big union from Melbourne to Prague to Seattle town. Wherever they may go, we will shut them down. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Got the chorus yet? That's it. That's it. And CNN will spread the lies. This is just how it's gotta be. Well, they can have their CNN, 'cause we've got our IMC. And we'll tell the truth quite clearly, though they don't wanna hear it. And they'll try to stop our broadcasts, 'cause the truth is that they fear it. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. They'd have a world full of strip malls, plants grown by biotech. As long as they get richer, they just don't give a heck. But we don't want their ecocide. We want a world we can live in. That's why we're here to stay, and we're not gonna give in. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Sounding good. And they will infiltrate us, provocateurs within our ranks. And if they can't divide us, they'll send the planes and tanks. But we will stand together, pacifists and Zapatistas, workers.